ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 प्रिस्क्राइब्ड ड्यूटीज फॉर मैनकाइंड चैप्टर 6 द प्रोजेंसी ऑफ द डॉटर्स ऑफ दक्ष वर्स नंबर 1। श्री शुक उवाच तत प्राचेतसो असिक्नयाम् अनुनीत स्वयं भुवा षष्ठीं संजनायाम् आस द्वित्र पित्र वत्सला। श्री सुख उवाच तत प्राचेतसो असिक्नयाम् अनुनीत स्वयं भुवा षष्ठीं संजनयामास द्वित्र पित्र वत्सला। श्री सुख उवाच तत प्राचेतसो असिक्नयाम् अनुनीत स्वयंभुवा षष्ठीं संजनयामास द्वित्र पित्र वत्सला। श्री सुख उवाच तत प्राचेतसो असिक्नयाम् अनुनीता स्वयं भुवा षष्ठीं संजनयामास द्वित्र पित्र वत्सला। श्री सुक उवाच स प्राचेतसो असिक्नयाम् अनुनीता स्वयं भुवा तस्मिन् संजनयामास द्वित्र पित्र वत्सला। श्री सुख उवाच तथा प्राचेतसो असिक्नयाम् अनुनीता स्वयं भुवा षष्ठीं संजनयामास द्वित्र पित्र वत्सला। श्री सुख उवाच तत प्राचेतसो असिक्नयाम् अनुनीत स्वयं भुवः षष्ठीं संजनयामास द्वित्र पित्र वत्सला। माताजी श्री सुख उवाच श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड तथा आफ्टर दैट इंसिडेंट प्राचेतस दक्ष असिक्नयाम् इन हिज वाइफ कॉल्ड असिक्नी अनुनीत पैसिफाइड स्वयं भुवा बाय लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा षष्ठीं 60 संजनयाम आस बिगॉट द्वित्र डॉटर्स पितृवत्सला ऑल वेरी अफेक्शनेट टू देयर फादर। Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, thereafter, at the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Daksha, who is known as Prachetas, begot 60 daughters in the womb of his wife Asikni. All the daughters were very affectionate toward their father. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. After the incidents concerning the loss of his many sons, Daksha repented his misunderstanding with Narad Muni. Lord Brahma then saw Daksha and instructed him to beget children again. This time, Daksha was very cautious to beget female children instead of male children so that Narad Muni would not disturb them by urging them to accept the renounced order. Females are not meant for the renounced order of life. They should be faithful to their good husbands. For if a husband is competent for liberation, his wife will also achieve liberation with him. As stated in the Shastra, the results of a husband's pious activities are shared by his wife. Therefore, a woman's duty is to be very chaste and faithful to her husband. Then without separate endeavor, she will share in all the profit the husband earns. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 6, Verse Number 1, Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, thereafter, at the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Daksh, who is known as Prachetasa, begot 60 daughters in the womb of his wife Asikni. All the daughters were very affectionate toward their father." Hare Krishna. So we are reading the section of the progeny of Prajapati Daksh. We read that Narad Muni, he convinced 11,000 sons of Daksh to not to marry, but go onward with sannyas and go back home, back to Godhead. So Prajapati Daksh was very bereaved, morose and angry. Still Narad Muni went to him to preach to him, to allow him to express his anger, hoping that once his anger is expressed, his heart will be peaceful and become a fertile ground to preach. And that happened. After cursing Narad Muni, Prajapati Daksh, he became pacified. He became shant. He became peaceful. And then he became guilty. He repented. Because with the ultimate understanding, Narad Muni didn't do anything wrong. Narad Muni didn't do any sinful activity. He didn't deviate the person, the boys. He put them on the right path. The anger of Daksha was not on the activity of Narad Muni. The anger was born because of attachment to his sons. If there is a toy which is damaged and can hurt a child, the father will throw the toy and the child will get angry. So that anger is because of the attachment with the toy. But child doesn't know that this toy will hurt me. So attachment is such that it spoils our intelligence. We are not able to distinguish between good and bad. And when we lose the attachment, we get angry. And we go under the influence of lower modes of material nature. And we end up doing a mistake. Advancement in spiritual life means reducing our attachments. Attachment to body, attachment to relatives, related to the body, people related to the body, attachment to property and sense objects, attachment to our country, the place of birth, attachment to science, and attachment to religion. These five attachments are five anchors. And if these five attachments are not removed, how much we row the boat, we will not move forward in the waters. So while practicing spiritual life, one should be careful not to develop attachments based on desire to enjoy. We get attached to an object because either we get happiness from that object or we hope to get happiness from that object. But Krishna is the source of all happiness. So we should derive all joy from Krishna. So one should be very careful. So nevertheless, Prajapati Daksha, when he was pacified and he was repenting, then Swayambhu, Lord Brahma, he visited him. Lord Brahma is called Swayambhu because he was not born as the conditioned soul takes birth in the material world. A conditioned soul takes birth with the help of father and mother. But Brahma was born where? Which hospital? Lotus. He was born on the lotus flower, coming out of the navel of Lord Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. So it is said Brahma is the first living entity. Right? Now what about the lotus flower? That is the first living entity, right? Or Brahma is second? Brahma is first or lotus is first? Huh? Tell me. But who is first? Brahma or lotus? Lotus is eternal, not born. Okay? The lotus stem and the lotus flower is part of Vishnu's body, just like arm and leg. It's part of Vishnu's body. It's not a separate living entity. Brahma is the first living entity. This is unparalleled. Generally, Vishnu has four arms, two legs, two eyes, two ears. One lotus, that doesn't he has, but Garbhodakshaya Vishnu has it. That's part of his body. That's Satchidanand. Whenever required, it appears. So Brahma comes on the top, suddenly, and he doesn't know who is he, what is he, where is he, what he is supposed to do. And that Brahma is empowered to take care of the creation, to increase the population. And Brahma empowered Daksha to increase the population. And Daksha was expert. So he attempted once, 10,000 sons, failed. Second, 1,000 sons, failed. So even if you are expert and you fail, you don't like to attempt again. Frustration comes. That is mode of passion, mode of ignorance. But Brahma told Daksha, No, no, you do again. Duty has to be performed. Even if you repeatedly fail, possibility of failure or actual failure doesn't mean we should stop doing our duty. The criteria to perform our duty is our whole existence. We have to perform our duty. Not that I failed, so I will not perform my duty. I will sit idle. Let others perform. No, we improve. We rectify. We learn. We learn from others. But we perform our duty. Even if we know we are going to fail, but if it is our duty, we should perform. Because that is our adhikar. We have to perform our duty given by God in Varnashram. Even if we know the consequences of the duty will be such that I will be at loss, I will be ridiculed, still we should perform our duty. Omitting our duty is sinful activity. When Dushasana was disrobing Draupadi, it is said that Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, they performed a sinful activity. What sinful activity they performed? Did they disrobe Draupadi? No. Did they touch her sari? No. Were they enjoying the scene? No. So what sinful activity they did? They omitted making a voice to the king. Don't do it. Stop this. This is wrong. Adharma. Incorrect. Even if they knew that after we raise a voice, the king will not do anything, still they have to raise their voice. Otherwise it is called sin of omission. So duty has to be performed. Instead of performing others' duty better, one should do one's duty in any case. So Lord Brahma is requesting Daksha that you perform your duty. And Daksha attempted. This time Daksha was very careful. He knew that Narad Muni will not leave. Narad Muni, even after cursing Sudregane, he will not change his heart, he will still preach. And again my sons, again he will make them brahmacharis. So knowing this well, Daksha begot 60 female children. Now this seems to me amazing. What number? No. The choice. Nowadays, who knows the science of choosing the sex of the child who is going to be born? But Daksha knew that science. In Vedic culture, there were rules and regulations for the couple to follow so that they can have an appropriate child. So Daksha knew it. So he could give birth to 60 female children so that Narad Muni doesn't preach to them. Why Narad Muni will not preach to them? He preached to 10,000 sons, then 1,000 sons. So why not 60? Is it difficult? Too much, right? Preaching to females, too much. Point is, females are not meant for renounced order of life. They are not to be preached not to marry. There is difference in the duties between males and females. This difference is not to insult woman class or make them slaves or anything like that. This difference is naturally made. A soul who in previous birth is inclined to self-realization, in the next birth gets a male body. And a soul in the previous birth, which is inclined to sense gratification, in the next birth gets female body. This is the law of nature. So the reason of difference in duties is the difference in this inclination. Now even in the presence of different inclinations, both male and female human forms need to go back to Krishna. So because the inclinations are different, the duties on the same path are different. So male is given duties in such a way that he can practice spiritual life, and females are given duties in such a way that they can also practice spiritual life, and both of them can take care of their inclinations. So when females, they get a stable environment of a family and a devotee husband, and they serve the devotee husband, then they get spiritual advancement. A husband should be a good devotee of Krishna, and a wife should be a good devotee of husband. So then this combination is such that both advance in spiritual life. The education of males and females is also different because of the different inclinations and different duties. But unfortunately nowadays, they both get same education, which has nothing to do with their duties. In present education, what they teach hardly is useful in our life. Maybe little bit useful in one who has a career, but in personal life, there's hardly any use. And whatever we studied, if you go back to your books now, the syllabus would have changed. That means what you studied was not relevant, useless. If I go and give 10th exam now, I will fail, even though I am considered 10th pass, because the syllabus is changed, not because my memory is down. So what I studied at that time, as of today, is finished, no use. So what is the use of remembering it? It is hardly of any value. In fact, it doesn't even help us. When we are leading our life, even material goals, it doesn't help us. After studying so hard and becoming an engineer or a BE or M.Tech, or MBA, after years and years, what do we get at the end? The university gives convocation. They give a, what we call, paper, degree, which you can go to anybody and show. I am a qualified nokar, give me nokri. That's all. You call it job, that's fine. But finally it's nokar. That I am, this Mumbai University has told, qualified me as a good dog, and I am ready to serve you. Whatever you say, I will do. You say, Tommy, fetch, I will fetch. You say, sit, I will sit. You say, stand, I will sit. In other words, I will be a good team player. I will perform nicely. I will be organized. I will be punctual. I am ready to sit overtime. That's what people write in biodata. But what they are saying is, I am a good dog. And not only I, Mumbai University also says I am a good dog. See this. I mean, good knocker, good servant. That's the end result. And 1 month, dogs get food daily. Here the job gives you 1 month later, one pay slip, one check. And we are so happy.
So education is making us dogs, making us servants. And such servants that we learn one skill for 5 years and all other skills we forget. So if I do civil engineering, I can't do anything else whole life. If I do electrical engineering, I can't do anything else whole life. If I do something else, I'll get frustrated. Kyun kiya main electrical? Jab job nahi karne ka tha. If I do MBA, then I have to be a manager. I can't go into technical, otherwise I'll be frustrated whole life. Why did I study MBA when I'm doing technical job? It makes your life miserable. And whatever you study anyway is not followed. Anyway is not useful. In my childhood, I learned one poem. You also must have learned. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. How many of you know this poem? Raise your hands. Good. How many of you know the meaning of this poem? No? How many of you applied this poem in your life? How many of you got some benefit of this poem in your life? Some money, some name, fame. Only when your mother calls, beta poem bolo, in front of chacha, and you say the poem and everybody claps. Kya matlab? I don't know. Ask the teacher, they also don't know. Ask the education minister of India, they also don't know. Ask the British Prime Minister, they also don't know. Nobody in the world knows the name, but meaning of this poem, but is still in the syllabus. This is education. Rain, rain, go away, come again another day. Every day the farmers in the morning, what do they pray? Hey Bhagwan, aaj barish bhej dena. And their children go to the school and say, rain, rain, go away. Krishna will be so confused. We should teach children, rain, rain, come. Otherwise, how will you eat grain? Without rain, no grain. But they have no brain. So this is not education. This is called slaughterhouse. Killing the young minds. Actual education is this. For males, celibacy. And for females, chastity. Because education is supposed to make character. But is today any institute in India which makes characters of students? No. Otherwise, Indian government should write a letter to airport security. IIT Powai, best character giving institution. Any student from IIT Powai should not undergo security check. That proves they have character. But can they do this? No, they can't do this. Can they produce an educational institute where character of citizens is formed in such a way that they can very nicely have trust? No security check for such students. Can they do this? No. That means they are not imparting character. And a character of boy is formed when he is educated in celibacy, brahmacharya. And a character of girl is formed when she is educated in chastity. And a boy can learn celibacy in Gurukul, under the guidance of the spiritual master. And the girl can learn chastity from her mother. She doesn't need to go to school and college. I studied in convent school. Our principal had a fixed rule. What rule? One bench, one boy, one girl. They will study together. Two boys, two girls, not allowed. What celibacy I will learn? If you, madam will write something on the board, you have to write on the notebook, then you learn by heart. And she will go outside 15 minutes. And 15 minutes we both will talk. Then if I learn by heart, she will ask me, she learns by heart, I'll ask. This is education. Where is celibacy and where is chastity? So education is this. So when a female learns chastity, she becomes chaste and faithful to her husband, and husband is celibate, then this combination is very nice for spiritual advancement. The husband practices nice devotional service and the wife assists the husband in practicing devotional service, taking care of the house, kitchen, taking care of
the children, taking care of the guests, deities, cows, automatically she advances in spiritual life. There is an example of Sukanya. She married Chavan Muni, and Chavan Muni was very irritable, old and blind, but she served him very nicely and she achieved liberation. Saubhari Muni, he married 50 daughters of King of Mathura. At the end, Saubhari Muni got liberation. What happened to the 50 wives? They didn't practice any devotional service, but they also achieved liberation. Why? Because they were chaste to their husband. Mother Arshi, when Prithu Maharaj left his body, she also went back home, back to Godhead with him. That is the ideal of a chaste woman, who just by following the husband goes back home, back to Godhead, when the husband goes back home, back to Godhead. Mother Devuti, she just served Kardama Muni. And she achieved Kapila as her son. And she is today in Vaikuntha, Kapil Vaikuntha. So that is the ideal of a chaste woman. If a woman is not chaste, then the whole family is finished. She is anyway doing papa. The children are gone, spoiled, and the husband loses interest in the family. Arjuna was very, very fearful. Fearful to kill so many men in the battlefield. Why? Because he said, if I kill so many men, all their wives, they will become alone, unprotected. And if they are unprotected, they may not remain chaste. And if they are not chaste, there will be Varna Shankara. There will be misguided population. And the misguided population, dharma will be spoiled. Forefathers will fall. Sinful activities will be performed. People will go to hell and I will be responsible for all this. Because I have killed men. I have killed husbands. So it is so important to understand this. So a stable married life for a woman is most essential to make sure she is protected. Protected from whom? Protected from those men who are not celibate, who are not undergo celibacy, and they can pollute the woman. There are such classes of men who pollute others' wives because they have not undergone celibacy. They have undergone engineering and management. They have not been taught. So they get attracted to females and they try to attract themselves, they try to attract other women to themselves. And becomes easy. They attract them and they pollute them. And then Varna Sankara is born. Illicit activity happens. Prostitution happens. Teenage pregnancy happens. Abortion happens. Sinful activities happens. And only animals are born out of such relationships. This is going on in the society. So females need to be protected from such men. Who will protect females from such men? Only husband can do. Females need to be protected from their own selves also. Because they have inclination towards sense enjoyment, their mind will always go towards it. But a devotee husband will very carefully, attentively keep the house in order. Make sure that the whole family is engaged in Krishna consciousness. And a submissive female will accept the order of the husband, will accept the timetable of the husband, Mangala Arati, chanting, Guru Puja, class, service, deity worship. And in that way, the chaste, submissive woman will automatically become a devotee. So Daksha's plan is like this. For a husband to protect his wife is very important because that is the responsibility of the husband. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking one question to Krishna. Why do we commit sinful activities even if we don't want to commit? Right? There's some verse like that. Jorse. Okay, what is the solution? Why do we commit sinful activities? Kam. Because of lust. And what is lust? All devouring enemy. Greatest enemy. The greatest enemy
of a person is lust. And for a male, lust comes in the form of getting attracted to multiple females. And if a male gets attracted to multiple females, he ends up performing sinful activity and his strays go to hell. He loses his human form of life. He becomes a dog.
Before and after both. Becomes dog after, before death also.
Dogs in the lap of a woman. But when he marries, his multiple attraction is reduced to one. If the wife is chaste. And his relationship with the wife is not sinful. So that means he is saved from going to hell and becoming a dog just by marrying. So one who saves you from the greatest enemy is who? Your friend. So husband's responsibility is to protect his wife who is his friend. Because she has protected from hell. She has protected him from going to hell, from becoming a dog. So it's his responsibility to protect her. In first canto, Suta Goswami says, every person has to protect five categories. You know that? What are five categories? Cow, children, woman, brahmanas, senior citizens. Every person has to protect these five. What? Cow, children, woman, brahmanas, senior citizens. Now all five are to be protected, but which is most important to be protected? Okay, India is democracy. We'll take vote on this. Vote on cow. I mean all five are protected. Which is most important? Vote on cow. Let me count. 4, 8, 10, 14, 15, 16. Okay, vote on brahmanas. Are those are second initiated. Okay, very... Okay, 8, 9, 10. Vote on woman. I thought at least woman will raise. 2, okay, 14, 15. Children. Brahmacharis don't have children. Senior citizens. At least senior citizens. Anyway. Yeah, so all five to be protected. My opinion is, the most important is woman. Who takes care of children in the house? Woman. Who takes care of brahmana guests in the house? Woman. Who takes care of senior citizens in the house? Woman. Who takes care of cows? Woman. Who takes care of deities? Woman. So if the husband takes care of the woman, she will take care of other five. That's why in Vedic civilization, woman is called Mataji. And she is protected as a valuable asset in the family. I am not saying others should not be protected. But a husband, if he protects wife, then the whole family is protected. Then the children are make sure they follow dharma. The woman is polluted, then children don't follow dharma. Because children are whole day with woman, mother, not with father. So it is not... That if female child is born, the parents should be unhappy, which is happening in the society. Sons have their duties, wives have their, girls have their duties, daughters have their duties. It is here said that Daksha was very affectionate and they were very affectionate to Daksha. It is not that Daksha was happy only with the sons. He was happy with both. Every one of us have a particular duty in the society and this duty has to be performed. When Mother Sita, after marriage in Ayodhya, she heard that Lord Ram is going to Vanvas for 14 years, She told Lord Ram, I will also come with you. Lord Ram said, no, you don't come. He denied her. Just 2 minutes before, when Kausalya told Lord Ram that I will come with you, he gave Kausalya a big lecture that how she should be a chaste wife with Dasharatha and not go with the son. And after 2 minutes, he is telling his own wife not to come with her. So then Mother Sita said, just now you gave a lecture on chaste wife to your mother. That is applicable to me also. I should also come with you. Wife's duty is to be with the husband. If he is the king, she will sit with like a queen. And if he is in the forest, she will just serve him in the forest. Lord Ram said, no, there are lots of ferocious animals and asuras in the forest. They will be very dangerous to you. And Mother Sita said, if you are with me, I have no fear from these asuras and ferocious animals. But if you are not with me, I have danger even in the palace. Then he said, it will be very discomfortable, uncomfortable. There will be no beds. There will be no maid servants. There will be no hot water. There will be no mirror, no makeup, nothing. She said, I am happy in hell with you. I am not happy in heaven without you. So many reasons Lord Ram gave to discourage her, and finally she started crying. And with tears in her eyes, she became angry. And she shouted at Lord Ram. She said, my father did a mistake. He chose you as my husband, who is not ready to protect his wife. He did a mistake. When Lord Ram heard this, he said, okay, you come with me. So that's the duty of the husband. And that's the duty of the wife. And Mother Sita, 14 years, she followed Lord Ram. And that's why she is celebrated as a chaste woman. And we have so many other examples. Mother Anusuya is there. Mother Devuti is there. Draupadi is there. It is said that Draupadi, even though she had 5 husbands, but when she was with one Pandav, she will not even think of the other Pandav. She will not even think. And she is the first woman, first person in Indraprastha to wake up. And the last person to sleep. She will take care of the Pandavas so well. It is said that just Yudhishthira Maharaj had 2 lakh bodyguards. When he will go in the procession, 2 lakh people will accompany him. And every single 2 lakh person's name, salary, and what time he reports, and what time he goes back, and what is his family, and the family problems, Draupadi would know. Yudhishthira Maharaj will not know. Who wants to take on leave, who wants medical leave, casual leave, vacation leave, they will all report to Draupadi. And she will take care of these 2 lakh personalities and their issues and their problems. Draupadi would do it. And Yudhishthira Maharaj treasury, Yudhishthira Maharaj at any time didn't know what is account, but she would know. She would wake up first and sleep last. That's why she is celebrated. Now in modern context, we may think that is this possible for today's husband and today's wife? May not be all possible, but at least the husband should be a nice devotee and a wife should be chaste to the husband. Both should practice Krishna consciousness, attending Mangalati, chanting 16 rounds, Guru Puja, class, cooperate, take care of children, take care of the house. In modern context, this much is possible. Together serve in the movement of Srila Prabhupada. They do this, they both advance in spiritual life. So it is not that Vedic ideals are useless. They would do early marriage of a girl. She will do sati after husband dies. This is all not useless. This is very, very scientific. They will do early marriage because as soon as the girl becomes young, she already has this consciousness that I have a husband. Mere liye hai. So then she doesn't get attracted to any other male. So she's already chaste. Like if you are traveling somewhere, and when you're coming back to temple, if you already know somebody has kept prasad for you, then on the way, even if you're hungry, you'll not get attracted to any food items. Hai mere liye. Rajbhog pada hai. We already know something is there for us. So early marriage helps to maintain that consciousness. And widows would be so much feeling pain in the separation of the husband, the pain of fire would be less. So they'll burn in the funeral pyre. So all these things are very scientific. Because of modern education, they are not applicable in present situations. But at least, as in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada desired and instructed that all families, they should practice Krishna consciousness nicely. Make temple as the center of their life, or make temple in the house, they are not nearby. Worship the deities, serve the devotees, engage in preaching activities, practice morning sadhana. So when this is done, then they both advance in spiritual life. If a husband does devotional activity, automatically wife gets the result. If husband does 16 rounds, wife gets benefit of 8 rounds. And husband gets benefit of 16 rounds. Not 8. So family gets benefit of 24 rounds. See, maja hai na? So husband's pious activities, devotional activities, half go to wife just because she is assisting the husband. So sometimes in ISKCON, ladies have to get up early morning and go in the kitchen and cook dabba, and the husband is sitting and chanting, and ladies think, arey, mera chanting reh gaya, ek bhai rakh lene ka jyada acha, or half cooking, ek din aap, ek din main. No. If the husband chants 16 rounds and you are cooking, you get benefit of 8 rounds plus offering to Krishna. And he gets only 16 rounds. So it's not like that. So it is very essential that this is practiced. And a stable marriage will give rise to good offsprings who will become good devotees of Krishna. An unstable marriage, an unpeaceful marriage will result in very bad generation. And if a bad generation comes out, then our IVF will have a big problem. Already they are struggling. Struggling in the sense, it's difficult to preach nowadays. You don't accept because their samskaras are like that. They are born out of lusty desires. So already the consciousness is damaged. But if proper samskari parents are there and they are born out of mode of goodness, then you just tell them once and they will join. Or they will become devotees. So a stable marriage is very important for the future generation. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. If there are any questions, we may take. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Please comment on my question. You were talking about celibacy. Sita accompanied Ram in the jungle for 14 years. Contrary to that, Urmila, wife of a Lakshman, stayed back and prayed for the well-being of her husband.
So Urmila wanted also to accompany Lakshman.
Different path.
I'll tell you. Urmila also wanted to accompany Lakshman as Sita accompanied Ram. But Lakshman ordered Urmila that you be here and take care of Mother Kaushalya. That is my order. Because there's nobody to take care of Mother Kaushalya, Ram Sita are both going. So she obeyed the order of husband. She is the one who did sacrifice most in Ramayan. Still nobody talks about her. She is in the background. Sita got husband. 14 years she got to live with her husband. Urmila got who to live with? So she sacrificed just because Lakshman ordered for two things. One is somebody should be with Kaushalya. And second is if you are with me, I'll have to take care of you. Then how will I be engaged in Ram's service? I have to take care of Sita Ram. I can't take care of you. So you be here. So she sacrificed this and allowed her husband to serve Sita Ram without any distraction. If she was with them, Lakshman thought it will be a distraction. So wife should allow husband to serve. Okay? And traveling with wife is difficult. Ram showed. Without wife is easy. Lakshman showed. So both the lessons are required. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. According to scriptures, your father owes an obligation to get his daughter married, correct? Suppose the daughter says that she is not interested in marrying a material husband because she doesn't trust her husband. But she accepts Krishna only as her husband. So don't you think Krishna will protect them?
This is not for me to comment. How can I comment on what Krishna should do? It is not an ideal situation. Krishna doesn't recommend this. Krishna recommends that a woman should marry to a devotee husband, and Krishna protects both of them together. When Krishna has already made a system of protection, why we have to leave that system and ask Krishna for one another system? Varnashram is given by Krishna only for protection. Right? It's like that. So if a daughter has faith on Krishna, then should follow the instructions of Krishna. And the instructions of Krishna is a woman is protected by father, husband and son. Otherwise Krishna has to say, no, woman, don't worry, I am there. No father, no husband, no son. Krishna has not said that. So she is disobeying Krishna. And then after disobeying Krishna, she expects protection from Krishna. This foolishness. This sentimentalism. Ask her, take a glass of poison. If Krishna protects you, don't marry. Like Prahlad Maharaj.
Prabhu, suppose after marriage, the wife feels that her husband is not protecting, then Krishna will protect her, correct?
What is his wife thinks? What is wife thinks husband is not protecting? That husband should be told to protect wife. If the situation is very bad when there is no option, we are anyway dependent on Krishna. Someone lives a life of seclusion. But if a wife is not properly protected by husband, she should go back to father. Or if she has a son, she should live with the son. Like after Kamsa's wife, Kamsa got killed, both of the wives of Kamsa, they went back to Jarasandha, their father. Okay? We can't violate the system. Yeah.
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु जी, प्रभु जी आपने जैसे कि बोले कि जब भी दुशासन और दुर्योधन जैसे कि गलती कर किए और अन्य सब लोग को भी दोषी साबित है क्यों ना उसका प्रतिकार कोई नहीं किए, जैसे कि कभी कभी ऐसा देखा जाता है कि कोई वरिष्ठ व्यक्ति ने ऐसा कुछ गलती करता है, हमको ऐसा लगता है तो हम उसका प्रतिवाद नहीं करते, क्या हम दोषी है?
हमको बोलना चाहिए, अगर हमको लगता है कोई बात सही नहीं है तो जिस स्थिति में बोल सकते हैं उस स्थिति में बोलना चाहिए, जिस फोरम में हम बोल सकते हैं उसमें बोलना चाहिए। वो तो एक सभा में हो रहा था ना, तो इधर अगर रूम में हो रहा है तो एचओडी मीटिंग में बोल सकते हैं, सभा है ना, वो सभा में बोल सकते हैं, तो हमको बोलना चाहिए। अगर हमको लगता है गलत है, साइलेंस मीन्स एक्सेप्टेंस, तो जहां पर मौका मिले वहां पर एटलीस्ट बताना चाहिए बहुत विनम्र तरीके से कि ये मुझे समझ में नहीं आया। अगर गलत है तो वापस नहीं होना चाहिए, अगर सही है तो मुझे समझ होना चाहिए, तो ऐसा होना चाहिए। हम लोग जब हम आपस में रहते हैं तो गलती तो करेंगे ही, तो एक दूसरे को सुधरने में मौका मिलेगा। और हम वरिष्ठ व्यक्ति को डायरेक्ट नहीं बोल सकते हैं तो उनके वरिष्ठ के साथ चर्चा कर सकते हैं, वो उनको बोल सकते हैं। ठीक है, भीष्म पितामह का तो सभा में था, इट वॉज अ मीटिंग, आई मीन पब्लिक फोरम, सबको बोलने का अधिकार था। भीष्म पितामह तो स्वयं ही बड़े थे सबसे उधर एज में। ओके, तो बोलना चाहिए। एनी मोर क्वेश्चंस? ओके, विल एंड हियर। थैंक यू वेरी मच। हरे कृष्ण।